too late. I feel worthless. I'm living on the edge.
It's been an hour since you've been gone, and that's too long to come back home. I can't live without you, so I'll cry for you. Do anything that I can to feel that touch from your hand. Sorry that I want you, lady, what do I do? You know you're everything I need. Oh yeah.
Do what you want me to.
I would do anything.
Get on my knees for you.
Something about the Lovely South Cafe, you know, right, but you can hold Dr. Lovely here now, goddamn.
It's been a long ass day today, but I've been on the, I've been up since like 6 o'clock this morning.
Huh? What time you in the bed? What time? Nigga, that was how you going to bed, nigga, goddamn. Alright.
I was up this morning praying, because I was praying through some shit, you know, for some folks. God woke me up this morning and was like, some shit finna go down. Now get your ass up. Now pray. I be thankful. And I was listening to my tour portions today. My most favorite teacher was on. Oh my God. I look forward to getting into some of his stuff. Anyway, got to work. One of my clients and got in trouble and shit. Goddamn. I had to type up a letter, send that shit off. It's been a long ass day. Like, every, just stuff. We serve an abundant and amazing God. I can't complain. My brother said, hold on, let me hit you with these few things right quick. Pause, goddamn, Jodeci. I don't know. Okay, I'm done. Anyway. Nigga. All right, Let me get my light. I'm gonna get my life. All right, hold on, y'all, for 1 minute. Let me get it.
Mandrake.
You talking about the mandrake flower? Whew.
But a mandrake is a root.
To some degree.
That woman doesn't scare you a little bit, then you with the wrong woman. What I mean by scare you.
Anybody can want you, but it is different when somebody actually values you. Listen, it's time out for letting people come up in your life and talk that talk, saying this and that, when their actions don't match up to what they're saying. At this point in your life, it's time to accept what you truly deserve or don't accept anything at all. You gotta know your worth and know that you deserve to be valued to the uttermost, nothing less. Anybody can want you.
Wanting, yeah, that's one. But to be valued means the person actually can and see the value of who you are and the value that you play in their lives. And you've heard, okay, to understand the value, right, that you play in their life, that means they understand what you are worth to them. And the problem with niggas is we really don't comprehend the value of what a person operates or how they operate in your life. There is something that adds to. When you know the value of someone, you know that person is adding to it and not taking away. And if they are taking away something, it's not something that's going to harm you emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Whew. What you got to say, nigga good? Mm-hmm. What you got to say, nigga good? Yeah. You ain't got nothing to say? Yeah. Oh, watch. I got one more for your ass. Hold on. Hold on, hold on.
Your foundation is going to be the most vital thing in your relationship. Because after you've built a strong foundation with someone, you go on to build a structure upon that foundation. And that structure will consist of family. Maybe you have kids, business. Maybe you guys go into business together. Property, you buy houses. You might rent out property together. You may even get married. And if that structure were to ever crumble, you have a strong foundation to fall back on. And you can always rebuild because the partnership that you guys have is bar none. Oh, it's top.
Hold on. Goddamn. Hold on. Niggas, hold the fuck on. Whew. Whew. Yeah. Whew. See, that's a fucking partner for your ass. Mm. Whew. 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 Father. Ooh, niggas. Yeah. Oh, what are these? Nigga. God. See y'all nigga women. Y'all be thinking brothers ain't got shit going on. And they're incapable of. Yeah, these are words of a nigga you can follow, goddamn. See, when we talk about the man's responsibility of leading, oh, these are motherfucking words to help you on the lead. You gonna follow that shit. These words this nigga talking is sustainable. If you got something seriously built on a foundation like what he said, nigga, that motherfucker, that house won't fall. It might get a crack. But if you've built a solid foundation, ain't no fucking way that structure gonna fall. Goddamn. Ain't no way. Mm-mm. Fuck no, sir, ma'am. If you built a sure foundation, there is no way that shit will crumble. But you know what, niggas? We don't build structured foundations. We really don't. Most nigga foundations are built on a facade. False ideologies and principles. Imitations and lies. Facades. Because they really don't have or understand or they have no conceptualization of what it really means to have that kind of fucking foundation. We don't. We ain't seen it. We ain't come looking for it. We ain't established it. We stumble on bullshit. Why though? You gonna get it? Yeah. 7890. Thank you, ma'am. It's the last four digits of the phone number.
Got a strong structure. You guys already know what to do. If you build a relationship on a structure that is built off of lies, manipulation, narcissism, abuse, when that foundation crumbles, that entire structure is going to go with it. And if you have kids with this person, you're married to this person, you have a business with this person, everything is going to come down with it. Alimony, loss of your business, loss of wages, child support, divorce. You have to understand that in order to have a successful structure with a person, you must first build a successful foundation. And even though having a successful foundation does not guarantee you a successful relationship, you got damn good chances than having a structure that was built off a faulty foundation to begin with. And that's a fact.
That's wisdom right there. That's serious ass wisdom. That's what that is. That's wisdom. We talk about people walking in wisdom and understanding. That right there, that's full ass wisdom. That's what that is. That's what that is. Serious ass wisdom. That's exactly what that is. Yeah, and one more.
Regardless of what you may think or feel, like, men need spaces where they can express their emotions without judgment. For some of us, it's watching sports or playing games or going to the gym for long hours. But for me, I've always had a mother that spoke life into my life and who always told me to, Alex, don't let anger be the only time that you express yourself. She taught me the value in the art of communication. And yeah, maybe that gave me some confidence and it gave me an advantage. But that nurturing and that care is what kids need, even adults. Because the quality of a mother and son relationship is also the foundation for men and how they treat women. Mm-hmm. I see so many times women focus on the man's ability to provide money, flowers, vacations, or whatever, but yet haven't vetted a man to see if he honors and respects his mother.
Nigga, did you hear what the nigga said? Hold on, let me back this up for you, because you didn't get to hear the beginning aspect of what he said.
Regardless of what you may think or feel, like, men need spaces where they can express their emotions without judgment. For some of us, it's watching sports or playing games or going to the gym for long hours. But for me, I've always had a mother that spoke life into my life and who always told me to, Alex, don't.
He said he always had a mother that spoke life into his life. What you can do, what you can be, what you can achieve. Pouring into that. Whew, talk to me now.
Don't let anger be the only time that you express.
Huh?
My only man trying to find positive outlets for their emotions.
Yes, but you can't really.
Video games.
That's not. That is not a positive. Those are not positive outlets for releasing emotion.
To them, those are ways for them to find peace.
To find peace, but not mental security or stability.
I didn't say it was a good way.
That's more of a release of frustration.
Yes.
And still, after you've done all of the workouts and video games, the shit that's underlining is still fucking there. They, like he said, you need a positive place.
Yeah,
take that back. Safe space for you to express it. Now, you've heard me talk about this all the time, the importance of having a safe space and knowing that the person that you're talking to is going to advise you correctly, is not going to judge you on what the fuck you say to him. They're going to give you the right and truth behind it all. But the thing is, with sometimes y'all niggas, y'all don't want nobody to be honest with you. Y'all, seriously, that's a nigga problem. I've had parents, you know.
Yeah, but what he said his mother taught him.
Yes. But she, see, what his relationship with his mother values of how he's going to deal with a woman.
Yeah.
I remember one of my babies, he told me, he said, I talk to girls the way I do because of my mama. And I told him, I said, but you fixing your relationship with your mother is going to guarantee what kind of relationship you will have and the value you will have for a woman. True. But that relationship with her has to be either fixed or you find a space in our therapy where you get your needs met, because that's where I operate if he can't fix it, because he needs to have that dialogue. Mind you, I talked to the mom today because I was mad as hell at his ass because we talked about this shit last week, and she said, you know, he really likes you. She said, I've never known my baby to like adult black women. And the reason why he don't is the very thing place. Is the very thing I've been saying all along about the way black female teachers treat black boys. They literally dog them out and
treat them differently.
Treat them fucked up. And I've witnessed, I've know this, I've seen it. I've been in education for 20 some odd years. And they be the ones that set their ass up. They're the ones that are, and when I mean set up, they'll do something knowing that they're going to respond to get a reaction. Yes. And then they get them in trouble, removed from their room. So like, especially if he's like, you know, outspoken or whatever, they're going to make sure they do that. So, you know, it happened to him twice. And after that, he just did not like black dealing with black women. And then you have his conflicts and frustrations with his mother. It still adds to
spark to that.
Right.
School stuff.
Because it's the way she talks to him. But we finally got into a space where I was able to tell her, like, look, this your son. You got to pour life into him. You can't tear him down. You got to pour life. Because if you don't, then you know what I'm saying? So they've been pretty good in a good space, which I'm really happy about. But still, at the end of the day, you
that's
know
the problem that most black moms have to understand.
Oh no, they have a way of tearing their sons down.
Exactly.
And
because
really not
of their fathers that they chose to be with.
A lot of times they be looking like their daddies, and that's why they do that shit.
And then you doing this, you dog them out, and you say those things, and then they go outside in the world getting in trouble, and then they come in the house. Now you got
self-fulfilling. No, but no, but you now you justified in what you spoke into him.
Exactly.
But you not understanding this, the words you spoke to into him in the beginning is the reason why he's doing the things he's doing in a way.
All right. He's becoming the thing that you despise.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, baby.
And then the cycle repeats again. And now he's that for someone else.
I was really surprised because she told me, she said he was like, because I'm like, yeah, you know how I am. I be like, they ain't in therapy doing shit. They just be sitting in there and you realize they ain't got nothing. And then the mamas will be like, yeah, he was just talking about you the other day. What? Really? It's still about being in this space. But let's continue.
Trust yourself. She taught me the value in the art of communication. And yeah, maybe they gave me.
Yeah. She taught him the value in the art of communication. Effective communication with your mama, goddamn.
Voice your feelings.
The art of communication is her respecting what he has to say.
Yes.
Valuing his opinion. Yeah. And validating how he feels and advising without malice. Yeah, that shit. Now, I tell you, I didn't fucked up a lot on
that's
some
what
shit.
I'm saying.
But
you got that right there. That's what I'm saying.
I've learned from my fucking mistakes. Get damn. But I never tore my sons down. No, I didn't believe in that.
Though.
But I had I made some mistakes.
What you just said, though.
What?
With the validation.
Validation.
what you see that when he said the outlets that they do, going to the gym, playing video games, watching the game, going out with their friends, all the time.
Superficial things though, that doesn't heal.
It doesn't heal, but this is their only way.
That's all they have. Yes, I got
their
that.
Reality.
Exactly.
These are the signs to know.
Actually, those are the signs of depression.
It is.
To be honest.
These are the warning signs that young women, these are the signs.
Yes.
Your men are trying to reach out to you.
No. Those are the signs that women are not paying attention to, where he's literally screaming.
He needs something.
And
he's not getting it from you.
I think the sad part is black men haven't found a safe place in black women. And it's gotten worse.
It's gotten way worse.
I was laughing because I was telling my boss how I deal with the young boys when they come in my office when I know they got attitude problems and they be doing shit. And I be like, look, you the lowest, you the highest uneducated, the highest incarcerated, the highest unemployed. Anger rules over you. Climbing in suicide rate. Because we were never even on the motherfucking scale. Seriously. If we were, it was at the lowest of the low. But we climbing. Okay.
It was
highest in addiction. Because y'all ass love to get high and drink. And emotionally immature. I said, I'm old. And I'm a therapist. And I'm gonna have a job. But the way shit going, goddamn it, with missing niggas. I saw a video today talking about they finna 3D print meat with human cells. That's like eating people, goddamn it. Nigga, yes, but I'm just saying. Talking about because we don't have food. You a fucking lie.
There's plenty of food. They
keep throwing shit away.
Yes.
They not talking about none of this shit. They creating the fucking
creating
thing.
Creating problems.
Yes.
To throw the food away.
So that they can get y'all eating human meat and fucking
and
fuckery. So anyway. I was like, you know, you can get your shit together on that. And my thing is if you're not going to do the fucking work, and I literally say that, my friend Danny was like, I know you don't be calling folks niggas. Yeah. Yeah, if they're a nigga, they're a nigga. They know they niggas. I don't know. What the problem? I'm trying to get like why you acting like nigga is the wrong word to say. There's multiple versions of the word. We didn't went over this before. That's why we have a misconception of the word itself. That's why we need to learn to educate the shit out of ourselves sometimes. This is where we fail at. But yes, I do. And I come in with education if they got a problem with it. So moving on. Goddamn. I'll fight for you. And I'll have your back. When you need me. I'll be there. But if you're not going to do the fucking work, I'm just going to send you to another therapist because I ain't got time for this. My caseload is only supposed to be 30. Goddamn, it's 38 now. Goddamn it. My boss didn't say shit today, but I don't think she saw it. But I'm just saying, I want them to understand that. And the other thing I tell them is being a black woman, I got way more access to shit to make me more successful than you. So if you ain't listening to the wisdom that I give you in this room, that's on you. But if you work with me, we gonna learn some shit and you gonna grow. And that's real. Y'all heard, but girl, you ain't here. I sent you the thing about with Damon Dash talking about how they torturing those kids over in Chicago. The video I sent you that Damon Dash said he was in outside in front of the damn detention center, and they like really treating the kids bad. I was mad as a motherfucker. That's some fucked up shit.
Some confidence, and it gave me an advantage. But that nurturing and that care is what kids need, even adults. Because the quality of a mother and son relationship is also the foundation for men and how they treat women. I see so many times women focus on the man's ability to provide money, flowers, vacations, or whatever, but yet haven't vetted a man to see if he honors and respects his mother.
Woo! Woo! See, now that's what they mean when they say you got mommy issues. Yeah. Because, see, having mommy issues make it difficult for you to understand the worth of a decent woman. Because most of the time, if you haven't dealt with the shit, it will fuck your relationships up. And if she was toxic and she poured negativity into you, your view or the way you see women is through the lens of that relationship.
Yeah.
You will know the way they talk and communicate and the respect that they will have for their moms. And it's so important. Because she teaches you your worth and your value. But she also should teach you the type of woman you're supposed to be seeking after.
Or even his own feminine energy. Energy leaves clues. Hello? So if you want to know everything about a person, just watch him long enough. And see what he claims of value and watch how he treats that. But anyways, some men express differently, I guess. Maybe it's with sports, and maybe it's not, right? And maybe you may feel like that's not the healthiest thing to do, but regardless of it all, it's still valid, right? Because suppressing emotions is what's not valid. It's what's not healthy.
But they don't release emotions by playing sports. They just channel an energy. No, really. Because you're still left with the same shit. You playing a sport is channeling energy. You're channeling it from one thing to a different thing, and it still doesn't remove. I don't like.
Only,
I don't
only releases one emotion.
That's anger.
Yes.
Aggression. And still,
if you hold a lot of that in, people say going to the gym, playing a sport are the only ways to get rid of it.
It really doesn't get rid of it, do
I know it?
It
doesn't.
Because that's sports.
It's a temporary fix.
Sports channel negative energy. I'm sorry. It just does.
It deals with
you on a whole nother level, but it doesn't change or negate the fact that there is something going on in this particular person and that they got some needs that need met. And they're not addressing these wounds that has transpired over his life because that shit does not go the fuck away. You can put a cover on. All sports is doing is putting the cover on it. How do I know? Terrell Owens. How do I know? Ocho Cinco. Them some. How do I know? Goddamn. What's the motherfucking name that be punching on the wife? The boxer?
Mayweather.
Shit.
Yeah.
None of these niggas have dressed. None of that. Sports have been the building block in their whole life and they still fucking around.
Yep.
So, no. That's some bullshit, sir. But I understand why you said it. Because you speaking from a non-therapeutic aspect. Yeah, because they don't understand. All you're doing is transferring energy from one thing to another thing, but you're still not dealing with what's going on. It's just like potential energy. It stores up.
Yeah, because you got other people who are dealing with the same thing.
Exactly. And all you're doing is passing the energy around. at the end of the day. But it doesn't. I understand that. It's still stored energy, nigga. That shit's still there.
Exchanging it.
And he's exchanging the shit. Like, I mean, like, what the fuck?
I can see that.
Yeah, it's all. So you're not dealing with the situation. There's no other way to see that. So that's why I be telling y'all, y'all like to listen to these people, but there always has to be a breakdown of professional, because these motherfuckers ain't professionals. They just hearing shit they heard other motherfuckers say.
He's going based off experience.
Well, he's going based off somewhat of experience, but he also going by some of the things probably he probably heard.
He's heard. Well,
you know most of these people on social media listen to other people say it, and then they just repeat the shit they heard somebody else say. Because it resonates to them.
Yeah, it fits their life.
Yes, but that doesn't mean what you're saying makes sense. I'm just saying, and I'm not judging. I'm just saying that, well, yes, I am. But I said, I'm not judging. I said, but yes, I am. Because the information he gave wasn't extremely valid. And the reason why I'm saying it's not valid is all of the prime example, kids play sports now, right? Do you know some of, like, GTA? Some of the most aggressive shit. And they channel that same energy. So it's not being dispersed.
It's not a positive outlet.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, I get the workout shit. And I know men need to burn off testosterone, because that's pretty much the case.
Yeah.
All you doing is exchanging energy.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is still there. No one's dealing with the heart of the shit. And that comes through therapy. Or at least, you know, dealing with somebody with good sense to help you, you know, release the... You got to heal from the trauma. You can't heal from it if you don't deal with it.
Especially when it comes to the friends they hang around.
Yes, and the biggest
part... Don't have positive...
No, because all... No, because other niggas be... Most of... Yeah,
most of...
Yeah.
So if you're a woman and your partner tends to have these super high emotional reactions when watching sports, understand this. He needs you. But first, stop judging him for that. And second, make sure he can find a safe space for his heart to land with you. Because men have been hearing for a long time that expressing emotion is a sign of weakness. And I'm not telling you to be his mother. I'm not telling you to be his therapist. But I'm telling you that he do need you.
Yeah.
Men.
I think they need to be in a safe space. And that still just goes back to your woman picking. I'm going to say it again. It goes back to your woman picking.
Like the squishy says.
The squishy?
He leave his parents to cling to his wife.
That's what it says.
Be his bosom.
Be his bosom. Be the bosom that he lands so she can get it now, goddamn.
You know?
All right. And be your nesting place, baby. Come on in here. Let me squeeze you. All right. Yeah. True. Like, she should be his safe space.
That's what she's there for.
Is supposed to be his safe space.
That is his helpmate.
Yes.
That's what she's there for.
Exactly. She's supposed to be.
She's supposed to lighten the burden, not add to the burden.
That's it. That's it. Listen. Lighten the burden. I had a dude in my office last week, and we was talking about that. He said, a man ain't supposed to come home to chaos. His home is supposed to be his peace. I said, nigga, I have been preaching this shit for the longest time.
He come home with...
Listen, even though that... I'm going to say it again. Even though that jackass of a husband I had, I would be mad that motherfucker goddamn. But there was not a day that I did not serve him. Even though I was angry. And I'm going to take that back out. Yeah, ain't a day I didn't wash that nigga clothes, but he started to get it ignorant, so I made him wash his clothes after that. But I'm just saying... I'm just saying, seriously. Mm-hmm. And I started off my marriage When that nigga came home from work, food was done. That nigga had a bath ready. Everything was ready for him when he got through that door. I spoiled the shit out of him.
He didn't have to do nothing.
He ain't had to do shit. I didn't. And even in the respectable way, when I made more money than he did, I would give him the money to pay the bill before we went in the restaurant. So even that, you know what I'm saying, was done out of respect. I feel like it's just some fucked up shit when a woman just get a nigga the money in the restaurant. I'm like, no, I'm gonna let you pay it. Feel like a man, goddamn. Go on, get it, baby. Even when I made more money than him, I never made him feel less than. For what? Y'all have to realize that when you disrespect your husband, you got to deal with God on that. Because he's your head. He's your covering. So he who he put in charge of you to cover you, he's responsible for you. And how you treat him, you got to answer to God for. And how he treats you, he got to answer to God for. We can't be fucking around. Disrespecting each other is just not okay. That's not what the brother said about building that foundation.
If you're courageous enough, loving enough, and ready enough, and if you see her giving you that effort and that energy, recognize what that is. Don't let that scare you away. Be able to embrace that love, embrace that heart, embrace that soul. Right? Love. Yeah, on God.
Real shit. Even though that's still difficult for a lot of people to accept. Because if you didn't receive it, how are you going to know how to... If you never had it, how are you going to know how to receive it or give it? Yeah. I got one more. And then I can let the kid go and eat her meal. My allergy been kicking my ass. This is the last one. This is a really good one.
But there's a type of woman out there who has the most loyal heart, a calmness in her walk, beautiful eyes, a sharp mind, amazing body, and a gentle spirit. She knows that loyalty is showing respect, not only to herself and to her man, but also to God. Her loyalty is a reflection.
Linked over like, nigga.
What's in her heart? And if a man, or if you're her man, you don't have to worry about anything, or not too much, because her love will challenge you, but it'll also inspire you. Mm. It'll inspire you for excellence. Mm. You'll see that she's actually worthy of a plan, but she'll love you. She'll hold you. She'll only have eyes for you. Her body will only desire and crave you. Her heart will only love you. She's praying for...
Kudos to this nigga's mama, goddamn. Kudos to this nigga's mama, goddamn. Whew. She is.
This is an amazing job.
All right, where is she? Shit. Kudos to the mama.
Hey, man.
Shit.
She's ready to get it right with someone who is just as tired as her as getting it wrong. Someone who has known what it's like to have love and loss before. And ladies, if you aren't there yet, I understand. And it's okay. It's okay to not be okay. Maybe you're tired of giving your all and getting nothing in return. But when your nervous system is in survival mode, you'll keep feeling tired, even if you allow yourself to have those self-care days. But try resting. Try sleeping more. Try sleeping better. Try listening to your body. That's an art. That's a skill, right? It requires you to unlearn the habit of only listening to your mind. And lastly, you're enough. You've always been enough. But you gotta heal your heart. And you only heal when you life that consistently nourishes your nervous system. So right now, ask yourself, how do you feel in this moment? Because that matters, right? It's always mattered. Love on God.
I want to know who this nigga mama is, though, goddamn. Who that nigga mama? Like, her ass need kudos. A motherfucking medal. You understand that? Listen.
She raised
a gooden. That's a gooden. That's a serious ass gooden. Yeah. That is a serious ass gooden. Hi. Disclaimer, nigga. Y'all said I'd be bad with my mouth, but just know it's a disclaimer.
Okay? You can't sit up here and talk about a man and then become him. Because I ain't seen a nigga yet that'll make me give my pussy to somebody. If I gave you my pussy 9 times out of 10, I wanted you to have it. It didn't have nothing to do with my man. You can believe that shit. I ain't met a nigga out here yet. When he do some bullshit, I'ma go do it. Now, see what I'ma do? I'ma leave your bitch ass alone. Yeah. I'ma leave you alone. So I don't leave motherfuckers out here cheating. Let me say this to you, motherfucker.
She mean male or female? Male or female? Mm-hmm. Her statement and candor is brash as hell, but true nonetheless. She said there is no man out there that can make her sleep around on her man. And if she did it, it was because she wanted to. And she ain't finna be out here hiding and cheating. Because if the nigga ain't treating her right, she gonna get the fuck off. And if she meet another nigga and he treating her appropriately, then the other nigga gone.
What?
I'm not cheating with nobody. I'm not hiding nobody. Let me tell you why. If it's another motherfucker that wanna sit in that seat and do right by me, bitch, you getting up.
What?
And it's been a hit.
Say it again, mama.
I'm not cheating with nobody.
If it's a what?
I'm not hiding nobody.
Okay.
Number one, I'm too old for all that shit. I'm not about to do that. If somebody wanna be good to me, and treat me right, nigga, you getting up out that chair.
Get your ass.
You gonna let somebody else sit in that chair. And I'm not about to have no motherfucker that's gonna be good to me.
Get the fuck up,
nigga. You got to move on.
Why was she had?
She didn't need to hide what's good for her. Because
that when you hide, shit to mean you're shame.
Right. I ain't ashamed to live.
Why would you ladies have a motherfucker? Think about it.
Tell him, motherfucker.
Why would you have a motherfucker that's good to you and a motherfucker at home dogging the shit out
you? Don't want you, baby.
You done gave this motherfucker time and time and time again. Why are you ladies hiding motherfuckers that are good to you? It shouldn't even be no thing or no side, nigga.
What?
Tell it, mama. She said it shouldn't even be no side, nigga. Because if the real nigga ain't treating you as good as the real nigga, the other nigga you didn't met is taking care of your ass, then nigga.
Get side cheeks. Time for an upgrade.
Anyway, now listen. Now, goddamn. I don't approve this message, married folks, because your ass should have vetted the nigga before you married his ass. And between you and Yehovah,
because
most likely, if you got an ain't shit nigga, you ain't asked God in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Not when that sad nigga is treating you like a diamond. Not if that nigga is treating you like the queen you are, bitch, and see your motherfucking worth. Do you understand me, bitch?
Ooh.
What the fuck is wrong with you bitches?
Ooh.
He gonna have to get up, bitch.
And
he gonna have to let the real king sit the fuck
down.
Do you understand me, bitch?
Give me that seat,
20 motherfucking 20. If you got any motherfucking body that's treating you right, treating you like a queen, and helping you stand your motherfucking crown up right, bitch, tell that nigga it's time for you to
Because your man was sitting around like this.
That nigga in the background said, because your man was sitting around here like this. This nigga tilted the hat. I guess they was the son was having a conversation about the nigga she was dating. Anyway, moving. I mean, brush.
It's hard.
It's strong, but you know, I mean.
But real.
Yeah. A truth is a truth nonetheless. Right. Yeah.
Don't let nobody take you for granted. And when you find somebody who treats you
y'all shouldn't be taking each other for granted. I feel
that
you know.
That goes both ways.
It does. It really does.
Don't
You're
let
correct.
Nobody treat you for granted. Know your worth.
I seen that shit. I was like, that shit was hilarious. But seriously, true nonetheless.
That is a.
Oh my goodness. Seriously, true nonetheless. I found that one video, you niggas, where I told you about the Israel saying the shit they said. Huh. This is right here.
I wonder why Israel's biggest problem is the young generation of the black community.
The major problem of Israel is with the young generation of the black community.
We're all the way.
The major problem with Israel is the young generation of black people. And she also said Black Lives Matter. But she cut that clip out. But that's what she said.
Okay.
Because Jews is fun in Black Lives Matter, so I don't understand that shit, but you know.
Here.
But the reason why they also saying it's the young black people is because there's been a lot of college protests of black people across the states because of what they're doing to the Muslims. Mm-hmm. I seen some shit today made me so motherfucking mad. So you have these Muslims crossing a path.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, boom, they blew their ass up. One person was walking with a child. They blew them up. One guy, they using something to blow them up because they blew up the thing. And then the guy, he was kind of crawling because it blew off his leg and turned around and blew him up too. And another person was just walking by himself and they blew their ass up. Like just they disintegrated. When I say disintegrated, you didn't see a body part go nowhere.
They be doing.
I had to send that to your brother, cause he was talking that bullshit.
I be hearing the way they be talking about it too. It's like a game.
That's those people's land.
It is.
It does not belong to Israel.
It does not.
Or let me say, Israelis or the Jewish people. Because we already know they ain't even our motherfucking homeland. Shit too small.
They didn't even tell you how they conquered the now, what they call Israel now. That's
what I'm,
part of theirs too.
I know this.
We don't have no land. We don't have no communities. We don't have any bombs. We don't have any nuclear weapons. We don't have any missiles. We don't have any military. Wouldn't the biggest threat be the people you're actually in war with?
Their biggest problem wasn't Hamas or Hezbollah or Syria or even Iran.
Could it be that the conspiracies about identity theft are true? But what I think is the biggest threat is that the truth is being revealed and the world knows that.
So who are the real people? They are the African Americans, the Caribbeans, the West Africans. They're one nation of people. A lot of people will say, oh no, it can't be these black people. The Israelites of the Bible weren't black. Well, let's just have a look at it, shall we? The Israelites stem from one of the sons of Noah called Shem. One of Shem's sons was called Elam. And we have depictions of what the Elamites looked like. They are black people. The line that ultimately led to King David was Arphaxad. That line were black people. just looking at the depiction of these Israelites, but again, that depiction looks like a modern Negro.
I love it when white people do it. It just makes it
The Israelites of the Old Testament are not these Jewish people. They're impossible.
Now, this is why I'm telling y'all shit finna go down in this place. And they mad. Cause nigga, yep. Mm-hmm. But listen to this last one, and then I'm going to get started on the scripture.
Because black women divorced black men and married the government.
Well, white men divorced white women and married the secretary.
Why is it the worst in black America? There's also a cultural problem.
But when you say cultural problem, is that the same thing as incest?
The average music that a black person in Compton is listening to.
How do you know what the average black person is listening to in Compton?
Is it about contemplating the good, the true, and the beautiful, or is it about being a gangbanger and trying to get as much money and sleep with as many girls as you can?
So what type of music do you think school shooters listen to?
And hold on, in white Anglo-Saxon Protestant communities, it's a fact.
Okay, so your goal is not only to divide race, you also are wanting to divide with religion.
Norms, and the norms that have infected black America are destroying it from within.
You do understand the irony in having this conversation with a group of non-black individuals, correct?
You know, this is white people mad because Putin said the niggas are the people in the Bible.
People.
Listen, you know white people mad because of what Buddha... How is Jesus black? That's not the case. This cannot be. Nigga, this is hilarious. Do you know white people are crab because of what Putin said? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that?
Think about what Benjamin Franklin said.
Nigga. I mean, you got them.
What did he say? He said what? The French? No, the Franks. Was it the Franks?
No, here it is. Alright, my last one, I promise.
You don't get to treat me like absolute garbage and then get mad at me for not allowing you to treat me like garbage. You don't get to just disrespect me and then get mad at me for not allowing you to disrespect me. You don't get to feel disrespected because I don't allow you to disrespect me. You don't get to just walk over me and think that I'm still going to allow you to do those things. You don't get to ignore my wants and my needs and expect me to still cater to your wants and your needs. You see, that's not a relationship. That's not a partnership. Mm-mm. That's not a friendship. Mm-mm. What you should have done was appreciate me when you had me. Because if I can't win with you, then I gotta do it without you.
It's a fucking mic drop on that ass. See, I love it when I fan. Nigga men repeating the same shit the therapists say, because I know I have black men listening, and sometimes niggas, sometimes nigga men only listen to other nigga men. My credentials never play, you know, just saying. You know, I gotta wait a whole nother month for them to approve my shit to get my license, don't you?
Okay.
Yeah, because the board meet once a month. They approve shit once a month. Yeah. Anyway, niggas. Pause. I tell your ass what. It didn't start getting hot. My motherfucking AC ain't working. Niggas need that shit fixed ASAP before it start getting real ass hot in this bitch. Anyway, shit, because this fan ain't doing nothing. It ain't doing shit. All right, now let's get to it. So we left off on chapter 7. And I did go started on. I just don't go to start over since it's been a minute. Let's get to it. And it came to pass in the days of Uz, son of Yathem, son of Uzzah. Nigga, that's a name for your ass, huh? Where that nigga Uzzah at? That nigga over there. Yeah, that's a black ass name right there, I promise you. Anyway. Hey, god damn. Pause for a second, niggas. Oh, when niggas chase rabbits. Ooh, what was it, niggas? Niggas. Father God in heaven, I just want to thank you for crafting a fine specimen of man. You know, you made this man so wonderfully, fearfully, beautifully, niggas. So, how I told your shit pop out, then I go chasing the dragon all over the goddamn town. Listen to this shit. Ha. Okay, anyway, listen. The name Utah or Judah or Yuda or Yadi. Nigga. The name Utah is said to derive from the name of a Merindi tribe called Uti. Uti. Heh. Pete, now goddamn. Meaning people of the mountains. Father, what was it? Pete, now goddamn. The Apache word is U or Ya Tai Hi. Huh. Or Hi Ya. The name Judah or Uta is similar to the Northern European pronunciation of Judah. But we already know these sly ass niggas be doing shit. Anyway, I don't give a damn about what the fuck's going on in Turkey or goddamn Syria, but the other name that they use from a Hebrew background is Yadi. Now, you will find this particular word in 2 Kings chapter 14 and 28. It says, now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did, his might, how he made war, and how he recaptured for Israel from Damascus and Hamath what had belonged to Judah. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the King of Israel? Nigga. Okay. It goes on to say, Jeroboam, son of Nabat, the first king of the 10 tribes after they separated from Judah, Jeroboam expanded the borders of Israel. He reconquered the areas of Yudi and Samal that a foreign power may have temporarily taken over. Yadi was a small enclave of settlers from Judah. And its neighbor, Sma'ol, was similarly an outpost of people from the tribe of Dan, referring to the archaeology of the Dan Anu, the city of Harma, was to their south. But the term Hermath was applied to the whole area. Yadi was therefore referred to as Judah in Hermath. Later, the Jews in Yadi were to be taken into captivity by Assyria along with the 10 tribes. Shortly afterwards, this is where we were, the last lesson, it talked about Sennacherib, or Kerib, right? Or Charib. The Assyrian king attacked Judah in the south, centered in Jerusalem, and took many of the outlying areas captive. He boasts of having taken into captivity more than 200,000 from the reign of Judah. In this and other ways, a large number of Jews from the kingdom of Judah were exiled by the Assyrians and joined the 10 tribes. Despite this, as Nechamanides, I wonder if this connected to Maimonides, but anyway, Nechmanides explains, the Bible emphasizes the 10 tribes being exiled by the Jews, remaining separate from each other. The two separate bodies were each destined to fulfill their own special task, different from that of the other. Now peep of this shit. Hello. Okay, I'm done. Anyway, so listen. <laughs> 13 tribes and 13 U.S. colonies as founding states. There were 13 Israelite tribes when the tribes of Yosef, Ephraim, and Manasseh, because Joseph represent 12, but his daddy grandfathered in his two sons, technically making it 13 tribes and not 12. Well, how in the fuck we don't have this shit going on? Because technically it was 13 tribes. Are each counted separately, and Levi is also included. These are the paralleled by 13 original colonies. Whew. Sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, New Hampshire, Simeon, South Carolina, Levi, Maryland, Judah, New Jersey, Issachar, South Carolina, Zebulun, and Georgia. Son of Rachel, Joseph, father of Ephraim, Virginia, and Manasseh, Massachusetts, and Benjamin, New York. The son of Bela, Rachel's handmaid, Dan, Delaware, and Naphtali, Connecticut. Son of Zephar, Leah's handmaid, Gad, Pennsylvania, and Ashur, Rhode Island. We identify Judah with New Jersey, Why? Because it says each and every state linked to one of the 13 original colonies and also in one of the 13 Israelite tribes. Apart from New Jersey, Judah was also represented by Utah. Ain't this something? Oh, Father niggas. Well. Oh, Father God in heaven. Oh, I'm done with this dope, but God damn it. Yeah. Chased the shit out that dragon, didn't I? Uh-huh. Yes, the fuck I did. Yes, the fuck I did. Woo. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, goddamn. Now, I got that from his name, Uzziah, King of Judah. Because the parallel looks very similar to Utah. Anyway, and Yahweh said to me, take for yourself a large scroll and write on it in common script. To hasten loot, speed the spoil. What it meant by common script was a script which any man who reads it can skim through quickly, even a very common man, even if he is not intelligent in the manner Jonathan reads. Renders it in a distinct script. To hasten loot, speed the spoils means when Sena Cherub to come and to loot all the possessions of the 10 tribes and to speed Nebuchadnezzar to pillage Zedekiah and his generation. And I will call to testify myself trustworthy witnesses, Uri, the priest, and Zechariah, the son of Yereka. What it means when he says, I will call to testify myself also in those days, in the days of Jehoiakim, concerning that calamity destined to befall them, two trustworthy nigga. Ain't this about it? Nigga. Here go that stealing of the New Testament again, goddamn. Two witnesses, huh? The two witnesses. They're supposed to die and return to life and shit. These niggas are stealing all over the goddamn town. I mean, nigga. Man. Okay. Whew. Yep, there it is. One to foretell for them the evil that was destined to come upon them, Yiri, the priest, whom Jehoiakim dispatched, as it is said in Jeremiah 26 and 20, and also a man was prophesying in the name of Yehoah, Yiri, the son of Shimei, from Kerith Jerim, and he prophesied concerning this city and concerning this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And Zechariah and the sons of Jabriaka, who prophesied in the second year Yep. Yep. That's where they got it from. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. The two witnesses prophesying. Ain't this some shit? Father. Father. Father, these niggas so sneaky. God damn. I mean, they so fucking sneaky. You know what? I saw a video today, goddamn, of a white man talking about people missing what Jesus really came for, and it wasn't for what they think. It was to tell them how they added to the book. And that you can't trust these niggas that added to the book. Because that's what they did. Okay. You take Deuteronomy 13. God saying, don't add to nor take away from. He told you don't add to what he gave to Moses nor remove what he gave to Moses. So anything that is teaching something different than what he gave to Moses is a direct fucking violation, goddamn. I'm still trying to figure out how niggas just don't get this. I don't understand how easy this is. It's not fucking difficult. I just don't get it. I really don't get how people make it so difficult to comprehend this thing. Because, I mean, damn, he said don't fuck with shit. But what the fuck they did? They added a whole new book telling you the old book ain't worth shit. You just throw that out and we got a new one for you. Mind you, when people go to jail, what they give you? A New Testament? Not an Old Testament, niggas. We don't get it. I'm still trying to figure out how the hell we don't get it. Like, it's not rocket science. You know, it's just not. And I was intimate with the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. And Yahuwah said to me, call his name Marai Sha'al. Told you my name, Shala. Ha-ha. Heshbaz. He is the very son whom the prophetess called Emmanuel. What was it? What? It wasn't JC. Father. Now I already know. When I tell niggas about this shit, you already know. The niggas gonna rise up and try to stone my ass. Niggas. I'm gonna let it be. Anyway, it is impossible to say that it was another son, for we learned that in the fourth year of Oz, this prophecy was, and in the fourth year of Oz, Pekah was assassinated. And it is impossible for two children to be born in one year, one after the other. And Isaiah, his father, called him Mare Shal Chash Baz because of the calamity destined to befall Razin and the son of Ramallah, who were coming to arrest, I'm sorry, who was coming to wrest the kingdom from the house of David and to curtail the kingdom of Hezekiah. So basically they wanted to dethrone the son and then unite the kingdoms under one banner. Without God's input. Now ain't that some shit? For when the lad does not yet know the call, father and mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria shall be carried off before the king of Assyria. And the reference to the plunder of Samaria is after Pinchas was assassinated, Hosea reigned. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, went up against him, and Hosea became his vessel and gave him tribute and a bribe. That is the plunder of Samaria. All this took place in the fourth year of Oz, and Yehoah continued to speak to me further, saying, since this people have rejected the waters of Shiloh that flow gently and rejoice in Rezin, the son of Remaliah. And this explanation of what this means is they rejected the kingdom of the house of David, which leads them greatly, like the waters of Shiloh that flow gently. Shiloh is a spring known as Gihon and Shiloh. Here, he prophesied concerning Sabea and his company who wanted to rebel against Hezekiah. For they rejected him, since they saw not that he did not choose a regal table. And mind you, he told you that the scepter would never depart from Judah, that they will always have a king on the throne. So you just gonna go on and do your own damn business however you want. And yeah, no, we be doing too much. For they rejected him, since they saw that he did not choose a regal table, but would eat a little of vegetables and engage in Torah. Concerning him, it is stated in Proverbs 13:25, a righteous man eats to set
satiate
his body. And saw Pinchas, son of Remaliah, eat 40 says of pigeon for dessert. What the fuck? How many goddamn pigeons? This nigga ate 40 pigeons. That's basically, he was over. He just overindulging and stuff. They would ridicule Hezekiah and say, is this one fit to be king? And there is no king in Rezin and the son of Remaliah. They were fit to rule in their lifetimes. And this is the meaning of and rejoice in Rezin, the son of Remaliah, the Holy One, blessed be he, said to them, do you desire eaters? I will bring many eaters upon. Ooh-wee. Now listen there, goddamn. So you got one king that overindulges. But Hezekiah wasn't overindulgent. He ate when he was hungry. And he didn't overeat. Kind of similar to what you saw here, you know, before the settlers came, goddamn. People ate probably like once a day. And they ate more vegetation than meat. That's why we were so healthy. That's why we had no fucking diseases. goddamn, I mean, and then they had the audacity to, you know, that's some nigga shit. What kind of king is that? He ain't eat nothing but the other king. He eat 40 pigeons. This nigga don't eat nothing. What the hell wrong with him? I mean, come on. Seriously. Ooh, but I could, God about to get it. God about to get it. The Holy One, blessed be he, said unto them, do you desire eaters? I will bring many eaters upon you. Behold, Yahweh brings upon them the mighty waters of the river instead of a weak and gentle waters of the Shiloh. It's like, oh, so you don't want a meek and humble king. That's not what you want. You want a jackass king. That's what you want. That's what you want. I'm going to give you what you asking for. I'm going to give it to you. See? Ouch, niggas. Ouch. But I got you. We can stick our fucking foot in our mouth. And then we be messed up. And that's the sad part. Is the fact that we don't know what's best for us. We want things, or we want people, you know, to look up to that have no moral character. Goddamn, you know, they don't. They no community efforts. These niggas that people uplift and celebrate on a daily basis are selling y'all ass out. Because they know certain truths and they never reveal it. They hold back some shit. They be around here doing bullshit. Got your children doing the same shit they ass is doing. And people gravitate and worship. Because this is worship. This is fucking idol worship. There is no other way to goddamn see that. All of your well-to-do movie stars and so forth, they are all being worshipped, and they just wicked as shit. That's it. It's an unfortunate thing. Therefore, behold, Yahweh is bringing up on them the mighty and massive waters of the river, the king of Assyria, and all his wealth. And it will overthrow all the distributors and go over all the banks. It's gonna overshadow everything. And it's going to tear apart everything. You'll have nothing left. Wow. It's to go back to what I said. His justification and the way things line up are intentional and parallel. And it will penetrate unto Judah, overflowing as it passed through up to the neck. It will reach, and the tips of his wings will feel the breath of your land, Emmanuel. Whew. Up to the neck, up to the main part of the strength of their neck. And Jonathan renders up the city of Jerusalem, and he will reach the tips of his wings, a small joint at the end of the wing is called
Mutot.
Mutot. Mutot. Let us see, Mutot, famine, spreading, outspreading. Oh, famine in the land. I told you, God don't play. When he get mad at y'all ass, he go right to the famine. Hungry hippo, niece. Hungry hippo. And I saw in Tamar, how big are the wing tips of the rooster? 1/6 of his wings symbolizing 1/6 of the king's forces. And Emmanuel, this is the tribe of Judah, whom the Holy One, blessed be he, promised to be with the days, within the days of Hezekiah, as the words of the prophetess who named her son Emmanuel.
Well,
huh? Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Notice how God mentions every child by name. Where the fuck is JC name at, though? He named him Emmanuel. He named Ibrahim, Isaac, and Jacob. Goddamn. Where the hell is JC name if he was called to say to come? Because every time God told you when somebody was going to be born, he told you what their name was going to be. I'm just saying, niggas. I'm just saying. Join together, old peoples, and be broken. Hearken, all of you of distant countries. Gird yourself and be broken. Gird yourself and be broken. Take counsel and it will be foiled. Take counsel. Go talk to someone. Anything outside my will, it ain't gonna line up anyway. Do you understand? Anything you put to do with your hands and God is not in it, it will never thrive. It will never come to fruition. And if it does, it won't last. It won't. Because you didn't put him in it. Come on here now. So he says, take counsel and it will be foiled. Speak a word and it will not succeed. For Yahuwah is with us. So as Yahuwah spoken to me with the overwhelming powers of prophecy, and he admonished me from going in the way of this people, saying, hold up. Wait for the niggas who be thinking we soft, we don't. Play, gonna walk into the wheels fall off. Hey. Stop fucking with God. Goddamn. Anyway, moving on. So has the Yahuwah spoken to me with the overwhelming powers of prophecy, and he astonished me from going in the way of this people, saying, you shall not call a ban everything that this people calls a ban. And you shall not fear what it fears, nor attribute strength to it. You shall not call a ban. It means you, son of Hezekiah's company, even though they are fewer than Shabana's company, you shall not say we decide according to the majority. Come on then. Everything that this people calls, it means that for this is the band of the wicked and is not counted. And so it is a regard to 10 tribes. It is regarded of the 10 tribes who formed an alliance with the kings of Egypt. Remember when we was reading in Jeremiah when he told them niggas, don't go over there to Egypt and try to link up with anything. And if you do, you gonna get them folks in trouble. And they did it anyway. And they got their ass in the red hat. All their ass went into captivity. Now ain't that some shit? You shall not fear nor attribute strength. You shall not say that he is strong. So did Jonathan translate? You shall not say strong. For Yahweh Sabaoth, him shall you satisfy or sanctify. And he is your fear. And he gives you strength. And it shall be for a portent and a stone upon which to dash oneself, and for a rock upon which to stumble, for the two houses of Israel who came to be for a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The plan that Siban plotted, and then Pinchas plotted to overthrow the kingdom of the house of David, shall be an omen of the disaster destined to befall them. And he told them to prepare yourself for tomorrow, upon which the feet are dashed. This is an expression of stumbling. Before your feet are dashed, lest you dash your foot on a stone. Oh, you already know that shit hurts and it catches you off guard. For the two houses of Israel who came to be for a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, who are the two houses? Pinchas, son of Ramah, and the company of Siban and his company. And many shall stumble upon them and fall and be broken and be trapped and caught, which took place when they infiltrated Egypt. Bind this warning. Seal the Torah in my disciples. Now ain't that some shit? That's a hell of a choice word right there now. Okay. Bind the warning means all this is part of the prophecy stated in verse 11. For so has Yahuwah said to me, and he said further to me, bind this warning, an expression similar to Deuteronomy 8 and 19. I warned you today. An expression of warning. Bind my warning and seal the Torah on the heart of my disciples. Your disciples who fear my name are called disciples of Yahuwah. And if you say that the expression of binding does not apply to the study of the Torah, it does indeed imply, as it is said in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 21, bind them upon your heart always. Torah upon your heart always. Speak it as you go to and from, when you get up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night. Speak it and teach it diligently to your children. Let it, write it on a doorpost, write it in your house, put it as frontless between your eyes. Make sure you know it, that it might be well with you and it don't depart from you. And I will wait for Yahuwah, who hides his countenance from the house of Jacob, and I will hope for him. Behold, I and the children whom Yahuwah gave me for a sign and for tokens in Israel from Yahuwah Sabaoth, who dwells on Mount Zion. Niggas, once again, we already know when God ain't playing, he's dropping that mic on Yahuwah Sabaoth, the God of hosts. He ain't playing. He not playing. That's like, put some speck on my name. That's exactly what that means. Behold, the children for a sign. The explanation of that is, for two signs, a disaster in store for Pinkah, as the child was called Mahar Sha'al Hashbaz, and the salvation of the house of David, as the child was called Emmanuel. Yahuwah is with us. This is the solution of the matter according to its simple meaning. However, it details with Azah, who locked the synagogues and the study halls, lest the children of the schools study Torah. He said, if there are kids, there are no bucks. If there are no bucks, there are no flocks. And if there are no flock, there are no shepherds. And I will cause him to remove his patience. The prophet said to him, no matter how much you bind the testimony and seal the Torah to close it up so that it shall not be found in Israel, it shall not avail you. There is no harsher prophecy than that time when Moses said in Deuteronomy 31:18, and I will surely hide my countenance on that day, meaning you will not see me. What would your life be like without Yahuwah? What would that look like if you had to have, or if it came upon a time where God disconnected himself from you? What would your life be like if God completely removed himself from your life? What would that look like? How would you function? I know goddamn well I wouldn't be able to. And even on that very day, he promised them, and this song shall testify before him as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten from the mouth of his seed. And the Torah will always be connected to the people. Always. They are the disciples who are dear to me as children. Mind you, you heard me say, as a child, I questioned it. It didn't make sense. And I didn't get the answers I was looking for. If you really love God, you will do what he asks of you. You will walk in the way and do as he asks, and you will not depart from it. You will understand the value of what it means to have him in your life. They shall be for signs and wonders that the Torah will survive in Israel through them, the children. Wow. When he says, teach it to your children diligently, without ceasing, extremely often, teach it. And when they say to you, inquire of the necromancers and those who divine by Jeroah bone, who chirp and who mutter. Ah, shit, niggas. Who chirp and mutter. Sounds like them Christians, goddamn. And that little bit of that's exactly what that sound like. Does not this people inquire of its God? For the living, shall we inquire of the dead? Come on now. Come on. Explanation of the inquire of the necromancer. Let's go up. And when they said to you, excuse me, Biri, the father of Hosea, son of Biri, prophesied these two verses, but since they were not enough for a book, they were attached to Isaiah, and he prophesied them concerning the exile of the 10 tribes. When Senchab exiled the Reubenites and the Gadites, and he exiled them with them, as it is said in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and 6, Beriah, son, his son, and Tiglath-Pileser exiled. He was the prince of the Reubenites. What the monkey? Hold on, goddamn. How the fuck is that? Because Tiglath-Pileser was a goddamn sea people. How the shit is that? Okay, he ruled over the Reubenites. Yeah, he still was a sea people, though. Because he took control of the area, I guess. Alright. Who chirp and moan. This is a derogatory expression, for they have not even any speech, but like these birds who chirp with their voice. The expression of chirping and moaning implies to birds as below, like a swift or a crane, I chirp, I moan like a dove. Similarly, he found the expression of chirping in regards to a low voice. Yeah, nah, I believe that's that gibberish shit them folks be speaking. Cause niggas be running around speaking that shit. This shall be your reply. Does not a people like us, who has a God like our God, inquire of its God? Would you tell us, be like you, to inquire of the needs of the living from the dead? Hell no. For the Torah and for the warning, if they do not say the likes of the thing that it is not light. Oh, Father, come on. It is light. If they say it is not light. Now you will see whether they will say, well, they will not say the likes of this thing. Namely, inquire of the necromancers, of those who divine by Jeroboam, even though there is no light and no substance in this thing, they will not be ashamed. Yeah, going to calling up the dead and see if they can get some information now, goddamn. You've not already seen that before. And the one who passes therein shall suffer hardships and hunger, and it shall come to pass when he is hungry and wroth, that he shall curse his king and his God and face upwards. And he shall look to the land and behold distress and darkness, weariness of oppression. And to the darkness, he is lost. For there is no worries to the one who oppresses her. Like the first time, he dwelt mildly, exiling only the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And the least one he didn't harshly, the way of the sea and the other side of the Jordan, the attraction of the nations. The entire land of Israel, which will roll to it all the nations, for all longed for it and came to it for commerce, like the meter that is stated, a heritage desired by host of nations. Jonathan, however, rendered this differently. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of the death, you have exaggerated. No. Aggrandize this nation. You have magnified the joy for them. They have rejoiced over you like the joy of harvest, as they rejoice when they divide spoils. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the one who oppressed him, have you broken as on the day of Midian. The day of Midian represents Gideon's time. For they too fell together in one night. And on the night of the harvest of the Omer, as it said in Judges 7:13, and behold, a roasted cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. For every victory, shout-outs will clamor, and the garments wallow in blood. But this shall be burnt, consumed by fire, for a child has been born to us, a son is given, and the authority is upon his shoulders. And the wondrous advisor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, called his name the Prince of Peace. Although Azaz is wicked, his son, who was born to him many years ago, nine years prior to his assuming the throne to be our king in his stead, shall be a righteous man, and the authority of the Holy One, blessed be he, and his yoke shall be on his shoulder, for he shall engage in the Torah and observe the commandments, and he shall bend his shoulder to bear the burden of the Holy One, blessed be he. And the Holy One, blessed be he, who gives wondrous counsel, is a mighty God and an everlasting Father, called Hezekiah's name the Prince of Peace. The Prince sends peace and truth all the days in his, will be in his days. to him who increases the authority, and for peace without end on David's throne and on his kingdom, to establish it and to support it with justice and with righteousness from now to eternity. The zeal of Yehovah of hosts shall accomplish this. And you know, we really don't be paying attention to what's being said. And I think a lot of times people misconstrue certain things because it's so simple when you read the whole chapter, you begin to understand exactly what's being said. Yahweh has sent a word against Jacob, and it is fallen in Israel. And the entire people shall know Ephraim, and the dwellers of Samaria, the fallacy of what they spoke with haughtiness and with arrogance, saying, bricks have fallen and huge stones we build, sycamores have been cut down, and we will replace them with cedars. And Yehovah strengthened the adversary of Razan over him, and his enemies he shall incite. Aram from the east and the Philistines from the west, they devoured Israel with every mouth. Despite all this, his anger was not turned away, and his hand is still outstretched. Whew. Nickel. Sound like God is mad as hell. And the people has not returned to the one who smite it. And Yehovah Sabaoth, they have not sought. After he put them in captivity, and war tore up, the people still, listen, this is the same shit. We never change. We still do the same shit. Oh, I was just talking about how niggas don't get it. We still refuse to see the light in following him in fullness. God does not delight in us dying or being destroyed. An elder and a man of esteem is the head, and a misleading prophet is the tail. Here we go with the head and the tail now, goddamn. And then it told you what's the head? A man of esteem. And the misleading prophet is the tail. It's referring to the leaders. And those who learned the ways of the false teachers. It's no different than what you see in the Christian church today. You will have a dialogue and show folks certain stuff. And they'll look back in that Bible and they'll be like, I'm going to go in. Then go ask their pastor, what the hell does he know about Hebrew shit? Unless he went to seminary. And if they went to seminary, they learned theology. What they really learn is about multiculturalism shit. They learn about other religions. Majority of the studies are on other religions. What are they bringing to you? What are they telling you? Because clearly the doctrine is off. And let's just keep it 100. the people in seminary, at least they know we're in the damn hell and what in the damn hell those Latin fathers did before supposedly being converted. Good shit, niggas. You still see the paganistic rituals, goddamn, that they ass set up. We definitely gonna get in them Latin fathers, because I think we really need this. You really need to understand that part. Therefore, over his youth, Yehovah shall not rejoice. And on his orphans and his widows, he shall not have mercy. Father, help us. For all of them are hypocrites and evildoers. And every mouth speaks obscene language. Despite all this, his anger has not turned away. And his hand is still outstretched. Now, niggas. Yeah. That's plain and simple. He said the youth, right? The orphans and the widows. He said all our ass is wicked and hypocrites. Come on, we got to learn to do better. For wickedness has burnt like fire, and thorns shall consume them, and it kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they have become entangled by the thickening smoke. Father God in heaven, excuse me, by the wrath of Yehovah Sabaoth, the smoke has reached the earth, and the people has become like a conflagration of configuration of fire. No one has pity on his fellow. Father God in heaven, no one has pity on his fellow man. We still don't have pity on our fellow man. We don't care. And he stretched on the right and is still hungry, and he ate on the left and they are not sated. Each one eats the flesh of his arm. Father God in heaven. That speaking of one plunders the possessions of his relative, meaning they were stealing that don't belong to them. Manasseh and Ephraim with Manasseh together, they shall unite against Judah. Despite all this, his anger shall not turn away, and his hand shall still outstretch. I mean, basically, we get to a point where they start turning up. They've been turning on each other, but we shouldn't even be surprised. Because even the scripture tell you our ass was selling out our own folks and doing them dirty. And we still do the same shit today. We still killing each other. We still lying and sneaking and stealing shit. I mean, the things that we do. Somebody told me today, we were talking about when, you know, people, loved ones die. And then they leave a little money. Folks come circling like vultures. And then they be stealing and sneaking and taking and doing. You understand? That's why it's always important to do a will, so you won't have to deal with all that shit. But most of us don't even do it. We don't do it. We don't have no respect for a lot of things. And we so damn wicked. And it don't make no damn sense. The stuff we do to our own people. I'm like, I was just talking about this morning. Like, we have black businesses and people be saying, ooh, support the black business, but then be the first ones to try to overcharge your ass or not pay you a rate. And then they get mad when you going or you leave. because, you know, and then, yeah, they just wanted money. Well, I'm like, everybody needs, you. This is just not, you know, I'm like, come on, seriously. It's so unfortunate we can't even patronize our own people because we don't even have the common courtesy to not overcharge our folks. God talks about this in Proverbs where he says, a just weight and balance is Yahuwah's delight. Meaning fairness. Being fair. We just don't want to be fair. We always want to get over on our own brothers. And it's so bad. I found out, I find more white people fucking help my ass than niggas do. And that shit crazy. And it shouldn't fucking be like that. I'll take my ass to bed because I'll be talking about this shit all night. I just can't stand that. Oh, man. Where we go? Here.
It's true. Be gone! But the Torah. He said, I'm the Lord thy God that brought thee up out the land of Egypt. Thou shalt not have no other God before me. Simple and plain. Don't tell me about now and all of a sudden it's a new thing. John told y'all that story. Paul told y'all that story. God didn't tell you that. And Moses ain't tell you that. Moses was the Lord giver for you. He said, honor your mother and your father that your days. Remind me of the story right here. It's a man, old farm. He got so old, he couldn't do the work no more. All he would do is just sit on the porch. So his son was doing all the work. And his son would look over at him and whatnot every now and then from time to time. And he'd say, wow, look at him. He's not doing nothing. He can't do nothing. Look at him just sitting there. He said, got frustrated one day. He said, you know what? He went and made a coffin. Coughing up, dragged it to the porch where the old man was sitting. Told the old man, get in. Old man climbed, got up off the board, climbed in the coffin. He started dragging the coffin to the edge of the farm where there was a cliff, right? And right before the cliff, right before the drop, hear a light on the thing. So he slides the lid open. Yeah, what do you want? He said, can I ask you something? Yeah, okay, what is it? He said, throw me off the cliff if you want. That's fine. He said, but I may suggest one thing. If you're gonna throw me off, maybe you should save this nice, good wooden coffin you made, because maybe your kids might need it in the future. Let that go over your head, let that marinate. Now, you say the moral of the story is, well, there's a couple of morals I got here. Right. I got a couple of morals for this one here. The first one is, honor your mother and father that your days might be land, because they soon it's going to be you with your kids. Right. You reap what you sow. Right. What you put out there is what you get back. That's one moral I got. I'll give you another one. Another moral is, parents love their children so much that they consider them. There's no limit to the compassion that they have for their children. And this is facts. There's no limit to the compassion that parents have for their children. That's
right. I'm going to reiterate, because that's the case for every parent. Because that's the truth, nonetheless.
Almost no limit to the compassion that a parent has for their children. And they care for them so much that they even think about them even beyond their own death. Let's go.
Ezekiel chapter 33, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the word of the Most High came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man from amongst them and set him for their watchman, If, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the horn and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the horn and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head.
So let's look at this right here. God said, tell the man, he said, when I bring, because this is inevitable, it's about to go down. When I bring the sword upon the land because of your ways, for not keeping my Torah, for not honoring your mother and father, for not serving, for having other gods besides me, for not treating each other with the respect that you deserve. Because that's all the Torah is. You read the Ten Commandments, the first couple of ones is about God, and the rest of them is about how we treat each other. That's all it's about. How we treat each other. It says, if he blow the horn, the watchman blow the horn, and the man don't turn from his ways, right, his blood is on him. Right. That's his life. That's on him.
If the watchman, is the prophet. If the prophet does not warn the person what God said, then the blood is on him. But
for he heard the sound of the horn and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him.
Took not warning. As we have today, let's put it in today's term. We see all this drama coming on. Last week there was a boat that just ran off, broke down a bridge.
Old bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday we had an earthquake over here, and now they're talking about some eclipse coming that's going to darken the place up. I'm not going to all that, but I'm just saying stuff is happening quickly.
So if the prophet warns the person and the person does not take heed, then the death or what is to take place with that person is on their own hands. That's what you need to understand. God is saying don't shoot the messenger, because he only did what he was required to do. And the person that is to blame for your downfall is yourself, because you didn't take the warning nor follow through what was told for you to do. And that's the piece we really don't understand. And I think it has a lot to do with the relationship with God we were taught that we were supposed to have. And that was from the people who lied and misled. And because of that, we have a skewing. So lead that to ponder on. What have you been told that you haven't followed through on? And what you were told brought about retribution or hardship, that's something that you have to blame yourself for, because you didn't consider the fact that the truth was being told to you. And when that truth came forth, instead of making the correction, you double down. That's still on you. We're responsible for the things that happen to us when we don't walk right with God. And that's a truth that some of us aren't ready for. The very thing you heard. The brother saying earlier about someone opening up to tell you about how they experience you. People have a right to talk about the hurt that we cause other people. And how we respond to that will make a difference as to how we repair relationships or sustain them and secure them and make them stronger. That's some stuff to ponder on.
Shalom, fam.